I like that guy right there. That's my favorite one with the Ollie for President shirt on. Hey, that's a great looking guy. Ben, that could be your brother. Oh, everybody knows Ben's from the 70s. Rode in on DeLorean. You know, nobody else got it but you. you know, this whole in God's image, us being representatives thing, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we've heard a lot about Adam and Eve. We've heard a lot about the creation story and those things. And it says so much to us that I'll be honest with you. Every time I study the creation story, every time I study about the beginning of God creating the earth, creating man, I learn something different every single time. Every single time. You know, and I think we just, in general, because we've heard certain things so many times, maybe we kind of check out on some of these things. And we miss some of the most life-changing things of what God really wants to say to us through some of his scripture. I really hope that through this series that God really speaks to your heart. I hope that you will have an open heart to whatever it is that God may want to change about who you are right now in changing you and molding you into who he wants you to be. And I want to just kind of go ahead and declare that I think the church sometimes does a terrible job of understanding and teaching the roles of men and women in such ways that can be degrading to one or the other, either one. I've been to churches, you know, obviously we've been to churches and we've heard, you know, everybody, you know, talk about women like they're dogs or, you know, the only way they know to tell time is if they're, you know, in front of the stove and, you know, all of those things, you know. But I've been to churches, it's okay, you can laugh. My wife will laugh with you. And you know, I've been to churches where the men, you know, like Father's Day is like the biggest, like, all right, let's get all the fathers up here that haven't been here in a million years. We're going to beat you over the head now with a stool, you know, and it's this kind of, you know, we want to teach what God has, how God has created us and what that looks like and what does that mean for us. We want to dive into that, but we need to understand something. We were both men and women created in his image. We're both created equally, but with differences. And the differences aren't bad things. The differences are good things. They're incredible things. Going back to this scripture that I was just reading a few minutes ago, we see some incredible stuff happening here. First off the bat, you know, we've got verse 26 of chapter 1. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and all of the creatures that move along the ground.'" And over there we see this our. Let's make him in our image. Let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And right there, we're already, first chapter of the Bible, we're already seeing what we know as the Trinity. We're already seeing God and that God has relationships. And again, we've been created in that image. We need those relationships. We need friends. We need each other. We need to connect with people. I just mentioned this briefly last week. It's why home teams are super important. It's why that we're going to be kind of changing some stuff up a little bit, even how we do things at 24 Church. Here in the next few months, you're going to see us add things to happen. We're going to be offering some classes on Sunday night kind of stuff, and that's really more discipleship oriented. But we're going to try to do something about once a month on Sunday nights that's just, you know, every time it'll have some type of purpose. But the underlying purpose every time is for us just to be able to get together and connect as a church. Because we lack that. It's so easy for people to come in and, you know, oh, we came to church. And then as soon as it's over, we're out. We're jetting out. We're missing relationships that we really need. That we really, really need. Next week, we're hoping to do something with men in our church. The week after that, hopefully with women. I don't want to do whatever the women are doing. I want to do whatever the men are doing. But you know, you kind of catch my drift. We're wanting to do things to create community. And I'm just going to go ahead and say Buffalo Wild Wings is on the docket probably for the men. So just go ahead and be ready to schedule a night the next week. You know, so it's one of those things that I think that we can overlook these things that are very small. And we go, well, yeah, you know, Chris, I know I need friends. I've got friends. Do you have the right friends? Do you have the friends that are pushing you toward holiness? Well, I go to church with them. Okay, are they still the right friends? I mean, seriously, I got tons of church friends, and some of them are crazy, and not in the good way. I mean, I'm all about some crazy friends, but some of them are crazy in the bad way, and they're not pushing me toward holiness. And so what we have to ask each other and what we have to ask ourselves is are we connecting with people that are pushing us toward God? This passage goes on in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I think it's worth noting that before and after this passage of scripture that we're reading, something happens in the very verse right before where we started. It ends where God has created the creation. The animals are there. The sun and the moon and the whole thing. And it's the seas and the whatevers. It's not geographically correct to say whatevers, but you know. And so we've got God has created everything but man. And he says it's good. He says, and it was good. But then, right after that, we have verse 26 when it says, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Wait a minute. God said it was good. Was it not good enough? You go down to the end of this passage of scripture, to the end of chapter 1, and this is not on the screen, but I'm just reading you just an excerpt of this. In verse 31, it says, God saw all that he had made. This is after he created man. And it was very good. You see, like before it was good, and then it was very good. God set out to do something unbelievable by creating us. He set out to do a couple things. He set out to show the relationship that he has within the Trinity that we see between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He set out to recreate that in an earthly form, in some crazy way, but not perfect. And then he set out to create people that would bring glory to him, that would be good representatives of him. You see, that's what we are. We are his image, a bunch of his image all running around. And the crazy thing, if you really think about this, is, man, it really makes you start going, well, I don't know if I was such a good image this week of God. And you start kind of questioning and thinking, what kind of image do I portray? What am I reflecting? Do I reflect God? I want to go ahead and jump into chapter 2 of Genesis. And in chapter 2, verse 18, we see this. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Ladies, we need you. Verse 19, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. In other words, he, you know, was kind of looking at the animals, going, that's not going to do. Thank you, Adam. You did one thing right. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now my bone, my of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. For she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. That's a great picture. You know, we've heard a lot about that in the past. If you've been in church at all, you've heard a lot of that. Maybe you've not been in church. It's the first time you've ever heard this. When God created us, he created us with needs. He created us with differences. He did that with men and women. We see this. I've got a friend of mine, used to be a youth worker of mine, that used to call his wife, and I'm not saying, guys, that this is a good idea. He used to call his wife his rib. And this is where that comes from. But just, you know, kind of thinking about this and thinking back to this and thinking how God created us from dust, created a woman from his rib. This is an incredible picture of the power of God happening right here. And I think, you know, in general, we just kind of take this for granted that we've heard this story about Adam and Eve, and, you know, we just, you know, it's just kind of, yeah, God did that, it's part of the deal. No. I mean, stop to think. I can't even put together a car model without getting the glue all over it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we have such a hard time even grasping what it must have been like for God to have created man and to have done so with a purpose. That purpose is for us to reflect him, to give him glory. And in this passage of scripture, we see some stuff here that I think's very important. We see some different things going on here. And the whole kind of deal is you know, that guys, we need the ladies. We need the ladies. I'm glad of this. I'm glad that he created women. Without that, we'd have no foxy lady. You know what I'm talking about? But again, these are things that we take for granted. I take it for granted. I have a wonderful wife. I take her for granted at times. I take for granted how sweet she is. I take for granted what a great helper she is. She's not even in here today, so I'm not even scoring points, so don't think I'm going there, all right? It's important for us to focus in on the things of what God has made so important that he deemed time in the beginning of creation to create us and create us in certain ways with purposes and with differences. And the differences are good. They're really good. Genesis 3, verse 16 says this. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Right now, some of the ladies are going, Chris, you just said the differences are good. Just hold on. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Now this is right after the fall of man. And I think that this is very important for us to look at this day and for us to even open this series with an understanding of that God created us as just these great, just the greatest living creatures that had ever been made. And then what happened? We have the picture here of Adam and Eve. And if you've never studied it, I recommend you go back studying. I recommend you go back to studying anyway. We're going to study it more throughout this series. But there's some stuff that happens here. Through this story, because of the fall of man, there are some things that are thrown out. Curses, if you will. And that's exactly what they're called. And God begins to throw out the curses, and he basically is just throwing out the curses on everybody. He throws out the curses on the serpent. Well, he throws out the curses on both men and women. He throws out the curses on the ground because of the man. And in the midst of this, we have these things that have changed for us. You say, well, Chris, okay, this morning you're talking about giving God glory. You're talking about what it means to give God glory, what it means to reflect him and who we are. And you know, I get that, Chris. I understand that we're supposed to be the image of God wherever we go. But Chris, how in the world does this have to do with that? It has everything to do with that. It has everything to do with that because it is in our weaknesses that he gets glory. It's in the stuff that we can't claim as I'm good enough that I was able to accomplish it. that he is able to get the glory. When God moves and does incredible things, and this is a prayer that we've prayed a ton for our church. You know, from the very beginning, we have prayed, God, please move in such a way, God, that people would see you moving and not a group of people trying to do something. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, that sometimes comes with a price, that prayer does, because that means it's not always easy, and it's not always easy for us. We didn't go start a church on the rich side of town. I had people tell me, you should go start your church on the other side of town before we started the church. I told them that's not where God called me to start a church. We reach people that don't have just tons of money a lot of times. And you know what? That's awesome. We've been ministering to a family here recently, and this may be your family. Maybe you're in this situation, but you know they live within 5 miles from here, and they don't have electricity. What do we take for granted? You see, when God can use us to do things that maybe they are painful, maybe there are things that, you know, I'm looking at this picture. Ladies, you can attest to this. I can't, except for watching it one time, is, you know, to the woman, he said in verse 16, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. You say, well, Chris, where's the glory to God in that? The glory to God is actually doing that, being a part of that process. You give glory to God when, if you're a lady and you give birth to a child, that in of itself is giving God the glory. I mean, it is a miracle. Men, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food, and you will return to the ground, since it is where you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. We don't want to do that, do we? I mean, most days, we don't really want to have to just, like, you know, kill ourselves so that we can barely fill up the gas tank. If you can find it. And I think that we miss that these curses at the same time become something that God can use. When we begin to latch on, and I'm just barely tipping the iceberg, and I'm purposefully not talking about roles of men and women today because we're going to talk about that in the next couple weeks. But if we can purposefully understand and latch on to who God has created us to be, and if we can consciously make the attempt to say that there are roles out there for who God has called me to be as a man, or for who God has called you maybe to be as a woman, that if we can latch on to those roles, and if we can do those things and fulfill who God has called us to be, we will bring ultimate glory to him. It's tough for us to understand this so many times because the world has fogged all this stuff up and they're like, you know, oh no, men and women are just alike and, you know, all this stuff. And I know where a lot of that comes from. And some of it's okay, but some of it's not okay. Because some of it is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Some of it is the exact of someone in a rebellion state saying, no, God, I'm going to lead out here. I'm going to do something on my own. And what winds up happening is because Scripture has taught one thing and God has created us in this way, we start to suppress that because culture is teaching us that's not okay. That's not politically correct. Again, we were created equal. We're just different. There's differences to who we are. And when we begin to hone in on those differences and to hone in on how God wants to use us in those things, it becomes a great thing. I had this guy that worked for me when I worked for the record label for a little while. And he was kind of a crazy guy. His name was Mike. And he was a sound engineer by trade. He was a school trained, sound technician. That's what he did for like recording studio type stuff. And one day, basically our company kind of nixed a whole bunch of the, part of the division of like the songwriters in our studio and all this stuff. And so he basically lost his job there at the studio that we had in-house. And so he was looking for a job and he comes wandering over to my department that I was in charge of at the time. He said, "Hey, I'd like to have a job." And I said, "You would?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, there's a bunch of studios on Music Row." And he's like, no, I just want to, I'll be one of your mailroom guys or something. I'll just do whatever. I can do IT work. I can, whatever. And I was like, "Really?" I was like, you want to do that? "Well, I got to have a job." And I was like, "Well, I understand. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. That's cool." And so, we gave him a job. He started working for me and us or whoever. And the thing that with Mike that I always struggle with is because I knew that he was very talented at this one thing and he really loved to do it when he was doing it. But in the midst of all of the craziness of, having to pay the rent and things like that, we all can understand that, he took a job, sending out letters and, mailing packages and all that kind of stuff. And the longer he worked with me, the more frustrated he got. And the longer he worked for me, the more angry he got. And he wasn't angry at me, although sometimes it came out on me. He was just angry about his disposition, about what he'd been given for the moment. And I think for so many of us, we miss really giving God the glory that he deserves because we want to refute who we really are. We want to say, I know that I'm supposed, I know God's calling me into this, but I'm not going to do it. And we struggle with it and we get mad about it. And I just want you to understand something. Every ounce of this series is going to come straight from Scripture. As always, it is not going to be laced with opinions about who men and women are. I'll even cut down the, telling time on the stove jokes, if you will. But I think for us to refute God's word and to say we want nothing to do with it, even though we know God is calling us to certain things in our lives, we're basically saying, "God, I don't want to give you any glory. I want to do what I want to do. And in doing so, it is exactly like what we see happen in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when they say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do it anyway. God knows for us more than we will ever know for ourselves. Things that will better us, things that will grow us, mold us, shape us, and most importantly, the things that will give him the most glory. It's scary to walk into paths where it does not seem easy. And many of you know that all too well. We have people here today and a part of our church that are single moms, and you're like, how does this play out for me? We have people here today that are newly married, and you're going, how does this play out for me? We have people here today that have not married yet, but they're on their way, and they're saying, how does this play out for me? We have people here today, a bunch of them that have babies on the way, and they're saying, how does this play out for me? We have people here today that are single, wondering if they're ever going to find the one. And they're saying, how does this play out for me? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about these roles. And we're going to study some of these things just straight from Scripture. What is it that God is calling us to be? Who is he calling us to be? It's going to be a really good series. We're going to have a week that's completely on being single. We're going to have a week on marriage and divorce. We're going to have a week on men. We're going to have a week on women. If you've got friends that are in any of those boats, you should invite them. That should cover all your friends. My prayer is that God will lead us to be who he wants us to be as individuals, as families, and as his church, that ultimately we could give him all the glory in the world. Because here's what happens. When we start to give God all the glory, when we are really worshiping and people see that in our lives, they, check this out, they will be changed. God will change them because he is real in who we are. That's real reflection. That's being a real representative of the business. And today, God is calling us to that. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word. God, you know that there's like 15,000 more things, God, I want to say. And God, in the weeks to come, God, we'll get to talk about a bunch of those things. Lord, I just pray that this morning, God, that we would just seek you with all of our heart. God, I pray, Lord, that we would open ourselves in a way that we would allow you to search our souls. God, I pray, Lord, that you would search who we are, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves. God, I lift up the families that are in here today. God, I lift up the single moms and the single dads that are in here today. God, I lift up the singles that are in here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide them into an understanding of following you, God, and that when we follow you, God, that you're going to take care of those things that we have big questions about. But God, throughout that, God, there's a lot of big questions to answer, and God, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to help us answer a bunch of those. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. We love you and we thank you for all that you have done for us, for letting us get together this morning. God, I want to just thank you right now, God, that this many of us, God, would be willing to overcome a gas price, God, to just be even here this morning to worship you. God, how awesome that is. How awesome it is to get to be in a church where we worship you, where it's all about you, where we want to give you the glory. God, I just pray, Lord, that in everything that we do, God, that you would get the glory. This morning, I pray that for our church and I pray it for our families. God, guide us and direct us as we continue to speak to your heart through a song. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to ours. In your name I pray. Amen.